The Hour One Nugget on Worship Radio 247.
Here in America, you speak English. Amen. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
But I'm English. And you've taken my language. And you say funny things like sidewalk. What's a sidewalk? It's a pavement. You have also, oh dear me. You have all sorts of different words. I love it. You know, the pastor was talking about freedom just now. And we were singing about freedom. Do you remember that? Do you want to be free? Hands up if you want to be free. Declare now to Almighty God, I want to be free. Is that the best you can do? So I go back to England and I say, well, you know, I was talking to this church in El Paso and I asked them if they wanted to be free and they said, I want to be free. Can we do better than that? One, two, three.
I want to be free.
Oh, that's excellent. Well done. That's wonderful. I want to be free. How can you be free? There's a question. Why are we not free all the time? You know why? Because we don't listen to Almighty God. We don't look at the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to be free. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He loves you. Say that with me. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He loves you. That's the truth. That is the truth. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. And we're going to look from verse 16. The word I brought you about freedom just now is nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you. But I felt I had to bring it because it's the truth. We can be free by keeping our eyes upon Jesus, not taking our eyes off Him, not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but keeping our eyes focused on Him. And when we take all our troubles, all our cares, all our problems to Him, and we lay them at the foot of the cross, I'll tell you what we do. Father God, in Jesus' name, I lay my burden now before you at the foot of the cross. And there it is, Lord. Amen. Thank you so much for doing that. Hang on, though, Lord. I just want to pick it up because there's something in here, I'm pretty sure. No, I'm not going to give you that one, Lord. I'll keep on to this one. Thank you very much. And that's what we do. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
We go back to the cross and we pick it up. We pick up all the dross, all the rubbish, all the detritus that we've left at the foot of the cross. We pick it up again and we walk away. And the Lord looks at us and He says, one day you're going to learn. Because if we do leave all of that rubbish, all of that dross, all of that detritus in our lives, we leave it at the foot of the cross and we walk away, there's freedom.
Amen.
That I promise you. There is freedom. This is what Paul says in the letter to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians, the third chapter. And verse 16, it says this, Paul says this, I pray that from His, that's God, that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. How awesome is that? You know, when we read the word, quite often what we do is we read the word and we go on to the next verse, and we go on to the next verse, so that you could do this. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with an inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make it, and we go on. But we fail to see the power in the words we just read, because they're life-changing. All the time when we look at Scripture, it's life-changing. I don't believe that we can read the book. I don't believe that we can read the Scripture, the Bible, in the same way we would read a novel. If you're reading a book, a novel that, I don't know, by whoever, and you're reading this book, you're not going to look at each line and think, No, you're just going to read it. Because in that book, there is no power. But in the book, in the Bible, there is power in every single full stop. It breathes the Holy Spirit. So how can we possibly read it and just read it and read it and read it and read it and oftentimes not even take it in? I pray, Paul says, I pray. Therefore, he's praying. Who for? You. I pray that from God's glorious, unlimited resources, in other words, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing. There is not a thing that is impossible. You want a new lung? You want a new heart? I could do with a pair of lungs, actually, thinking about it. But if you want a new lung, a new heart, a new arm, a new leg, whatever it is that you need, I don't care what it is that you need. You could have been to the doctor's office. You could have got a really bad report from the doctor. And he says to you, the trouble is, you've got 24 hours to live. And I should have told you yesterday. You've been to the doctor's office and you've been given a bad report. And he's told you that things aren't looking great. And what's the next problem? What's the next problem? Hands up, and I want you to be honest. This is really, really important to me. Hands up. If you're scared of dying, be honest. There's some hands coming up here. There's hands coming up here. There's hands coming up here. There's hands coming up because you're telling me the truth and you are scared of dying. I can promise you I am not scared of dying at all. You know why? Because I know where I'm going. This isn't home. When I live in England, in the United Kingdom, Essex, it isn't home. It's where I sleep every night. And actually, I've got my own, what would you call it, lounger. My wife lies on the couch. I sit on the lounger. That's our place. That's what we do. And I can put the lounger up and can put it down. My grandkids love it because they keep going up and down and up and down and up and down. They're really breaking the motor, but, you know, kids. But I love my lounger, and that's where I feel at home. And then I go to my bed, and my bed is where I sleep. And I feel, you know. And when I open the front door after being in El Paso, I'll go home and I'll open the front door, and I will probably go, because I'm back. The point I'm trying to make is, imagine how you're going to feel when you go from this life into the next life and you are spending eternity in glory. You will be breathing much bigger sighs of relief. Amen. Why? Because you're going to be home. Those people, I haven't even got onto this. Those people who put their hands up to say that they are in fear of dying. Do that once again for me, just one, real quick. Just put your hands up. If you put your hands up I need to see those hands again. Do you know what will take away the fear that you're feeling? If you've got any fear at all, doesn't matter what it is, even if it's a mouse or a rat or a snake, or watch this one for the girls, a spider. If it's anything at all, stick your hands up. This is really important this morning. If it's any fear at all, put your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands down. Those people who put their hands up, would you please stand? This is exciting. I love this. Because I believe that your lives are going to change right now. I believe there's going to be a massive change right now. Because the Word of God says, perfect love casts out fear. And I believe the love of God is going to fall in this place this morning. I believe in the love of God, and I believe that the fear is going to go in the name of Jesus. Are you ready for this? Stick your hand in the air. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you pour your love into all of your people, not the ones just standing now, Father, but the ones sitting as well. I pray in the name of Jesus that your love would fall now in Jesus' name, and that your love would cast out any fear in your children's bodies, in their minds, in their hearts, in their souls. And I come against you, Satan, to allow yourself to make them believe that they can be scared, because they are not scared. The fear is gone in Jesus' name. Why? Because the love of God will banish the fear. Perfect love casts out fear. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I believe the fear's gone. The Lord's got a sense of humor, you know. He really has. I've prepared this. I knew where I was going with this, and the Lord brings this. Come on, Lord. Okay, I'll do your will. I pray, says Paul, that from his glorious, unlimited resources, we know that God's resources are infinite. They never run out. You know when you order something on Amazon and you look at the thing that you want to order from Amazon, I order from Amazon all the time because I can't be bothered to go to the shops. And you can get it on Amazon and they deliver it next day. It's really good. Amazon Prime. Well, sometimes they haven't got what I want. And I think, oh, it says unavailable, item unavailable. And I think to myself, oh, I'm going to have to go to the shops now to get what I wanted. Item unavailable. With God, you're never going to get item unavailable. Because he has unlimited resources. Say unlimited resources. Unlimited resources. Watch this. I pray that from all of those glorious unlimited resources, watch, he will what? He will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. As God's love has been falling today, I know that as he was filling you full of his love, as he was taking away fear from your lives, I know this, he was empowering you. Because we can't do this on our own. It's impossible for us to do what we need to do in life on our own. We need to rely on God himself. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
I can't do it. It's impossible. I can't do what I do. It's impossible. Let me tell you a little bit about what's been going on with me. I'm getting older and older and older. And now I feel that when I come to church, I can't really stand. I don't want to stand because it starts to hurt. I don't want to stand. I want to sit. I'm more comfortable sitting, so I sit. Yet when I get up to preach, what am I doing? I'm standing. And I am standing with no pain. I am standing and I am able to stand. And do you know why? Because I believe when I am doing what I am doing, I am empowered through the Holy Spirit. And so therefore he allows me to do this as long as I need to do this. That is why he is amazing. There's a story. I've met this guy a bunch of times, actually. A guy called Nicky Cruz. Hands up if you know Nicky Cruz. He was with David Wilkerson many years ago. He was a gang leader in New York in the 60s. And he was a killer. He was killing people. Nicky Cruz. Awful chap. And he was the leader of a gang called the Mau Maus. And one day, David Wilkerson went to him and he said to him, "I love you, Nicky." And Nicky Cruz said, "You come anywhere closer to me and I will cut you into 1,000 pieces." And David Wilkerson said, "And each piece would scream, 'I love you.'" Amen. Because that was the truth. Nicky Cruz became a born-again Christian. He went to Bible school. He became an evangelist. And he was in Los Angeles. And he had to speak in a huge auditorium or a stadium. Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. Whether he was in the stadium. I think he was in the stadium. And anyway, there were 10, 11,000 kids in the stadium. And Nicky had to speak. And he was really concerned. Now, I know Nicky. I've interviewed him for television on a number of occasions. And I can tell you this. Even now, when he's in his 70s, his English, his accent is so thick that it's really difficult to understand what he's saying half the time. And Nicky knew this, especially when he was in his 20s and he's going to speak in this stadium. He said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm asking you now in Jesus' name." He said it in Spanish, by the way, not in English. I can't say it in Spanish, so I'm saying it in English. But he said it in Spanish. He said, "Lord, I need a tongue." And he stood up on the stage, opened his mouth, and he spoke with a pure Californian American accent. And every single one of those kids understood him perfectly. And they were turned from where they were going to Christ. That tongue was one of God's unlimited resources. What we think is impossible is very easy for God. Because he has unlimited resources. When are we going to grasp hold of this and understand what unlimited resources actually means? He's going to, with all of his unlimited resources, empower us with strength, inner strength, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
And this is what I love. Because in verse 17, Paul then says, "Then," so after he's done all this, after he's empowered you through the strength of the Holy Spirit, Paul says this. "Then," say "then." "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Isn't that enough for you today? What a word! We know that he's going to empower us with his Holy Spirit. Then we know that Christ is going to make his home in our hearts. His home in our hearts. That means he's always with us. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's going to be with us forever until we leave this land and we go to glory, which is where we live. That's what's going to happen. Those of you who were afraid of dying, there's a word that Jesus would give you. And it's this: in my house there are many mansions. Jesus says to you today, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Think about it. What's your perfect place? Imagine you are at that place which is perfection for you. You must have been to the mountains or the countryside or the beach. You've gone to some beautiful secluded beach, and perhaps you've never ever been, but it's in your mind. Where's my perfect place? Where is my perfect place? I want you to spend a moment now picturing your perfect place. Close your eyes. And when you've got your perfect place in your mind's eye, just lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Let's hear that. Let's find that perfect place. That perfect, perfect place. I'm going to make no suggestions toward what that place is. When we've done that, I'll tell you mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I tell you, I know what is happening this morning. You are seeing your perfect place. That is because God is projecting that image into your head and is saying to you, this is your perfect place. This is your perfect place. This one belongs to you, and to you, and to you. And when you get to glory, that's what you've got. That's what you will have. That perfect place. Because he loves you that much. And your father says, I am your dad. And I'm going to build you that perfect place. Because I love you. And you are my adopted child. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
My perfect place is a beach. White sand, blue sea. You can't get to it except by boat. It has a huge cliff behind it. And it's a little cove. And on the sand, built with a proper structure, is a wooden shack. And that is my perfect place. I actually tried to get a painter to paint it. No one could do it justice because that wasn't what God was showing me. The point is, I know when I get to glory, that's my home. And I know that I'll be in a position to be able to say, right, I feel like going to worship now. And I just close my eyes and I arrive. I don't have to go to the airport and get a plane. Don't have to get in a car and drive. I just close my eyes and I know the Lord's going to take me there. And then we're going to hear singing. We're going to hear the angels singing. And if you think you've heard some amazing worship, if you think you've heard some utterly awesome music, you've heard nothing until you've been to glory. Because that, beloved, is what you deserve. And the Lord continues to speak to you and says, then my son Christ will make his home in your hearts as you walk, as you trust in him. Here's the point. Here's where the rubber hits the road. It's all very well and good going to church on Sunday. It's wonderful to be in the company of other Christians and to go to church on Sunday and meet with all your friends, and then on Monday you continue your life as though Sunday hadn't happened at all. But what we've got to do is put our complete trust in Almighty God. So you've been to the doctor's office. You've got this really bad report from the doctor. And you're thinking, I'm scared about this. And then the Lord takes away the fear because his perfect love comes in. And then he says to you, do you trust me? Whatever I need to do with your life, do you trust me? You know, I was talking to a friend of mine the day before yesterday, at KSCE Channel 38. I was talking to him, hadn't seen him for a year at least, and it was good to see him. And this guy works in the most dangerous areas in the world. He works in Iraq a lot of time. And he was saying to me, picture the scene. This happened to a friend of mine. Picture the scene. This friend of mine used to be a colonel in the army. He now goes to Iraq to save children. That's what he does. And so there's a war going on. There's shots being fired. There's bullets going overhead. And he said, I can either stand here and see over there that that child is just about to get killed and do nothing about it, or I can go and get that child because that's what I'm supposed to do. That is my job. That is my role. That is why I am here. So what am I going to do? I think I'll stay here for a little while because the bullets are quite ferocious at the moment. And when there's a lull in the bullets, when there's a lull in the shooting, I'll nip over there and grab the girl. Hang on, he does that, the girl's dead. So what does he do? Father, I trust you. You've sent me here for a reason. Father, I trust you, I'm going. And he goes, and he walks across, and he picks the child up and carries the child back to safety. Why? Because he trusts in Almighty God. That's trust. We don't have to trust him in that way, because we don't have bullets flying over our heads. But we still have to trust him. Do I get an amen? Yes. We cannot not trust in him. It's really, really important. It's really important that we understand that God is in our lives. It's important that we understand that we need to completely rely on him. Because he has all of these unlimited, glorious resources. He's empowering us through the Holy Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. How amazing is that? Do I get an amen? His roots will go down. Your roots will go down into God's love to keep you strong. Does anyone know anything about gardening? I know nothing. I grow weeds, mostly. And in my garden, I'll see something. I probably won't even touch it. But I might well say to my wife, what's that? And she'll say, oh, it's such and such. Oh, should I pull it out then? No, don't touch that. I haven't got a clue what's a weed and what's not a weed. I'm useless in the garden. But I do know this.
that the weeds that grow in the garden, their roots go down far stronger and far harder than the most beautiful flowers. That's not fair. But I do know this. The rooting system, when God wants to send his love into your life, the rooting system goes deep. It's not shallow. It goes deep. Why? Because he doesn't want the enemy to blow you away. That's why. The rooting system goes down deep, 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 deep. As you're receiving this word today, hands up if you're feeling freedom. Hands up if you're feeling the freedom of Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you understand that. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is. 2006, the Lord touched me in an amazing way. I was driving to a Christian TV station, and I was miles away from God. And this friend of mine was sitting in the back of the car, and he slapped his hand on my back. He didn't touch me. He slapped me on the back and began to prophesy. The words he said changed my life. And for 7 days and seven nights, I didn't have a clue what was going on. I had no idea. All I know is I kept crying. All I know was I was just in his presence all the time. I remember driving down this main road in the UK called the A1. It goes into a freeway now and again, but it's usually two lanes. And it's a very, very, very busy road. It goes from north to south. It goes from Scotland all the way down to London. And this main road, when there's two lanes of traffic, lorries go on to the fast lane, if you will. In our case, it's the right-hand side. In your case, it would be the left-hand side. And they go down this lane, and they slow all the traffic down. Why? Because they can. Because they feel like it. And it's so frustrating. When you're in a hurry, and you're in the fast lane, and you want to go, and now you're down to 40 miles an hour because the lorry's in the fast lane, stopping all the traffic. I used to get so frustrated. Well, on this particular week, I was driving down the A1, I didn't even notice. Didn't worry me at all. I was just so involved with God, what God was doing. And at the end of the week, the Lord said to me, "Tell my people about my love." At that time, I never knew how important it was that I should do that. Why is it so important to tell Christians about God's love? They already know, Lord, surely. And the Lord said this, "If they knew, I wouldn't ask you to tell them." Simple, really. Did you know that you could tap into God's love whenever you need it? Did you know that if you don't stop him, he will turn the tap on and it won't stop? Did you know that? That's one of his unlimited resources. I would love you to stand to your feet right now.
And you at home, stand to your feet.
Isn't God good? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand in his presence. Father, I'm not going to ask people to raise their hands. I'm not going to ask people to do anything, Lord. All I'm going to do is ask you this in Jesus' name, that from your unlimited resources, you would begin to pour whatever it is that your children need into their lives.